I'm ready.
All right, very good. And a very good evening to you. Welcome, everyone, to the February 15th meeting, the regular meeting of Orrville City Council. We will begin tonight in prayer with Pastor Chuck Davis from Calvary Assembly of God. Pastor Chuck?
Hey, guys. Honor and privilege to be with you again tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is a great day. It's the day that you've made, and we rejoice, and we are glad in it. Even with the weather, Lord, we're going to rejoice anyway, Lord, and we're just thankful for this opportunity. I pray that you would watch over those that are making a living, Lord, out there plowing this snow, and Lord, our city workers that are going to be working all night through this, and I pray that you would just watch over them. Lord, watch over our citizens as they navigate the roads as well, Lord, and again, we're just grateful to be with our police officers. Lord, thank you for all that they do, and continue just to bless our police department and our fire department, and Lord, those areas of service, Lord God, in our community that are so valuable. Lord, I pray that you would bless our hospital, Lord, and strengthen our doctors and our nurses that are weary, Lord, through this virus battle, Lord, and we're grateful for the vaccines that have been released. But Lord, we know that there are several, there's just many, many thousands of people that have been affected by this virus. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to be with them and be their strength. And Lord, I'm so grateful just to be able to serve alongside of these great people, Lord, that have dedicated their time and their efforts to leading the city and navigating this our issues, Lord, that are going on right now. Thankful for our mayor. Bless Mayor Hanwork and his family. And thank you for his influence in this community. Lord, and I pray for every council member. I pray that you would strengthen them and renew them, Lord. We're living in exciting times, Lord, and exciting news that's coming down the pike, Lord, for our community. And we're just so grateful because that just doesn't happen. It's because people are laboring and working effortlessly, Lord God, and tirelessly, Lord God, for to see these things come to pass. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless them and strengthen them. Lord, may this meeting, Lord God, bring honor and glory to your name. Bless our businesses. Strengthen them, Lord. May our small businesses thrive and flourish as well as our large businesses, Lord. And may people take a note, and may they look at this city and they say, something great is happening in that town. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to link arm in arm, Lord God, and come across the aisles, Lord God, and join together in unity. I pray your blessing on this evening now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much again for being with us, Pastor Chuck. We always appreciate you being here.
My privilege. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And then we'll turn now to the Pledge of Allegiance. And we'll turn our focus then to the flag. All right. If you'll repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, if the clerk will please call the roll.
Hanwork.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Foy.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
Thank you very much. And you should have received a copy of the last meeting's meeting minutes. And so if we could please have a motion to approve those minutes. See, Mr. Larson, I need your voice too, please, sir.
Mr. President, I move that we approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Thank you very much.
Well, second.
Second, I believe that was Mr. Spears.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening, and so we'll move on in our agenda to the standing committee reports. And we always begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee, led by Mr. Handwerk. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President. We did just have a meeting about 10 minutes ago. So we covered a lot of things from the Gateway Project to maintenance and our comprehensive plan that will be available to see on our Facebook page, I believe. Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you. And our Utilities Committee, Mrs. Foy.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Mr. President. The Utilities Committee has not met, so I have no report tonight. However, just a few updates from the board meeting last week. The board was able to keep the power cost adjustment factor frozen for another, that current rate frozen for another quarter. And also there was an update on the second grant that was received from the Orville Area United Way, which allowed for 29 residential customers and 10 businesses to avoid being shut off.
Well, very good. Thank you very much for that. We'll move on to our Ordinance and Personnel Committee. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met, and therefore I have no report.
Okay, thank you. And our Transportation Committee, and Mr. Mosley, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President. Thank you. Transportation Committee has not met. I would like to comment on how good of a job the Streets Department and Mr. Willard and his gang are doing with keeping our streets clear. I do know that there's a lot of work, time, and efforts and working tire that goes into that, and just want to let them know that I definitely appreciate that. With that, I have nothing else to report, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you. Then our Health and Safety Committee, and Mr. Espiritz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met, and I have no report for tonight.
All right. Thank you. Our Planning Committee is led by Mrs. Whitmer. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning Committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right. Thank you. Our Finance Committee, led by Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right. Thank you, sir. We have no special committee reports, and so we'll move on then to our administrative reports. We begin with Mayor Handwerk. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. We'd like to just mention also, like Mr. Mosley said, thank our service department for doing such a good job. That will be a busy night tonight. And remember, people, in order for them to plow the streets, driveways are going to get plugged. They don't do it on purpose. That's just the way that works. So bear with them, and hopefully we'll all get through this here in the next day or so. Also, just hope everybody is safe as they're going to work tomorrow morning. I've heard already that the roads are pretty slick tonight out there, so everyone be careful. And very appreciative of the Parks and Rec meeting we had tonight. I think we had a good input from all of our council folks, and a lot of exciting things coming in the next few years at Orr Park. And that's all I have.
All right, very good. And we do have a recording of that Parks and Recreation Committee meeting if anyone is interested. So we'll move on then to our Safety Services Department, and that department is led by Mr. Wheeler. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening. Just a reminder to our citizens that we are under a snow parking ban for the snow parking ban streets. That went into effect earlier this afternoon and is in effect until tomorrow at 7 p.m. Also, they are out currently. As the mayor mentioned, the snow is coming down pretty good out there, and they're out salting, as well as they have started plowing already as well, so it's definitely coming down in a hurry. Chief Bishop and I were talking earlier today. He did mention that the SUV, the trailer truck that they had purchased to follow behind as our COVID truck, is a week from being in, ready to roll. They had to get it marked and get the lights and all that stuff on, so they're very excited. If you were able to see pictures on Facebook, the truck looks tremendous, so that'll be a nice addition for their fleet. And that's my report for this evening.
All right. Thank you very much. We will turn now then to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brenniger.
President, just a couple of brief comments there. Last week, and you may have heard on the news about a municipality in Florida that had their water plant act. And I did send out an article on there, but I just wanted to kind of follow up on the some of the notations I provided. One of the benefits our computer networks have and have had for a long time is the fact that these systems are not operated over the internet, so to speak. They are all closed. Even our superintendent managers cannot operate or function those facilities from abroad. We have the ability to monitor those facilities, but we took the proactive approach a long time ago not to get ourselves in that position, and that's before some of these folks started doing some of these actions out there. You know, nothing's foolproof. Stuff can still get in, you know, to our systems, you know, unexpectedly. People download stuff or, you know, bring drives in that aren't scrubbed or sanitized. So we, you know, we are diligent. We do have protocols in place to protect all of our utilities, computer operating systems. You may have noticed the past couple of days, if you did drive past the plant there, there is some activity there. We have had to plan up for the past several days, mainly prepping for some possible peak shaving due to these extreme low temperatures that we've been having in the morning. So far, you know, we haven't had any problems with that. As others have already mentioned, with the storm, we are, you know, prepared for that. I listened to the snowflakes hit our window. I'd much rather have about 2 feet of snow. Sorry, Mr. Lyle, but we don't want ice. Bring on the snow. Snow's okay. But our crews are ready for that, and we'll hopefully weather the storm, literally speaking, here without any event here over the next day or so. And the last just expanded comment I'll have to Ms. Foy's comment that she made regarding the power cost adjustment factor, just a reminder, with the board approving freezing that essentially freezes our electric rates again for another quarter, and we have not had any changes in our electric rates since fourth quarter of 2016. So a great testimony to all the folks that are involved in that effort, and certainly that brings a lot of stability and you know, to our customers' cost going forward. With that, that would conclude my report tonight, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody might have. Thank you, Mr. President.
You're on mute, Mr. President.
Sorry, I muted myself. We have a pizza delivery coming, and our dog tries to protect our home from anybody who might be trying to gain access to it. So, we'll move on then to our finance director, then, Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Council members should have received two items from finance with their council packets last week. The first is the quarterly and board information was reviewed in a slightly different format during January 19th council meeting when Scott Grubber from Meter Investments joined us. The report doesn't require any special council. There is a requirement that the report be delivered to council on a quarterly basis and amidst the fund balance report for December 2020. We'll review this information in detail during my annual report, the first meeting in April. We'll also go over some of the funds and their balances during our final appropriations workshop that's set for March 8th. So for this evening, I would just ask for a motion from council to approve the December 2020 fund balance report subject to audit.
Very good. You have that
motion. I'll make that motion.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Wilson. I'll second that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Larson.
You broke up there just for a second there, Mrs. Segal.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley. Mosley.
You're muted.
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you very much. And then we'll move on to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
All right. Thank you. I don't have a report for this evening, although I have noticed that it's been about a year since we have been meeting this way via Zoom, and heard a lot of horror stories about, municipalities doing that, and so far we've been very fortunate. It's run very smoothly, and I think this group has worked very well together as a group. And so one thing I had thought about was perhaps offering our city council meetings to be available live via Facebook or via YouTube or some other methods, but it's something that you guys can give consideration to, and provide some feedback to me whenever you would like to. But that was something I thought about. Our meetings are recorded, and they are put on our city Facebook page, and then they're also broadcast on the A channel here in Orrville. But there'll just be another opportunity too for people to be able to engage with our meetings would be to offer them live. So anyway, that's a thought that I've had. So if you have any feedback, just let me know. So that's all I have, and then we can move on then with old business for this evening and Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 421, I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
I'll second.
Second, Mrs. Widmer.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 421, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract for engineering services for the design of sidewalks for Phase 4 of the Orrville Sidewalk Program and declaring an emergency.
All right, thank you. This is our second reading. Our plan is to go three readings in order to allow opportunity for feedback from the community. This is simply the contract for engineering. This is not the decision to go forward with sidewalks. This is simply the concept of having these sidewalks be engineered and possibly address any problems they may have and see if there's a plan for dealing with problem areas. But it's just for the engineering phase. So, any questions or comments from anybody on this? All right, very good. We'll move on then on our agenda. Thank you.
Do you want to call it new business, Mr. President?
Yes, we'll move on to new business on our agenda. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Ordinance A-21, I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second,
Mrs. Foy.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Ordinance A-21, an ordinance approving the editing and inclusion of certain ordinances as parts of the various component codes of the codified ordinances of Orrville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. Who would like to provide a word of explanation on this one for us?
I can do that, Mr. President.
All right.
This is an annual resolution. It really is housekeeping. Basically, every year our codified ordinances are updated with any kind of changes to Ohio Revised Code or any changes that this, we have made through legislation with council. Once that process is complete every year, then the folks that oversee our codified ordinances send us the updates, and those have to be approved by council. I did look through the updates that they sent to us, and a large majority of them are Ohio revised code changes, such as the license plate change that went into effect, stuff along that line. So pretty routine stuff, nothing that would jump out at you otherwise, just mostly changes that were made at the state level that are noted in our codes that had to be updated.
Thank you. Very good then. What would council's pleasure like to be? Just go ahead.
Mr. Wheeler, just a quick clarification. Is it correct in saying then too that any local changes have already been through this body? They've already been approved, and this is a simple addition of those to our code, right?
Absolutely, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Given that, and this is an annual ordinance, just to keep the code updated, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of an ordinance on three separate days be suspended.
Mosley will second that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mosley.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
I move Ordinance A21 be adopted as read.
Second,
Mr. Handwerk.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. Let's move along, Mr. Horst.
Thank you. Ordinance B21. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second,
Mr. Handwerk.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Ordinance B21, an ordinance appointing members of the Charter Review Commission and declaring an emergency.
Very good. Does anyone have any word of explanation here? I can read the names of those who are being presented tonight, I guess. Let me share that. Or did we vote to read on this already? Sorry. My mind was preoccupied trying to run these different things here. So, did we vote on reading this motion?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yeah. All right. Let me see if I can share my screen. Okay, here we go. All right, and so the members that are being put forward here for the Charter Review Commission from Ward 1 are Chad Teague and Josh Garrett. From Ward 2 are Monica Miyashita and Tracy Cook. From Ward 3 is Becky Jewell and Tim Snyder. Ward 4 is Andy Vernon and Jim Clymer. And then the at-large representative, Evers, Patty, and Judy. So any further explanation or discussion from anybody on this?
I guess I can speak to this if nobody else has anything else. We have every 10 years, we have by charter a commission to review the charter, and each council member is given, each ward is given two representatives that can be appointed by those representatives, and the at-large council members each get one person that they can appoint. These are the people that have been presented to be appointed to that commission. If there are, so the expectation is that this commission will convene and meet to discuss the charter, to amend it or necessary. I think we've talked about the fact that if there, in fact, are changes that would be needed, those do have to go to the public for a vote. And we anticipate that it would be the November election that we've, I think we've already missed the deadline for the spring election. So, we will have a commission that meets however often they think that they need to meet to review and determine whether changes would be necessary. We've already reached out to the Board of Elections to find out the key dates that would be, in effect if we would go forward and need to bring this, to the polls.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions or discussions on this?
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
So what happens after tonight and we approve this as far as communication?
Yeah, we'll reach out to, we'll reach out to each of the members. Mrs. Kirkbride and I will get together and come up with a couple of dates to propose, and then we'll reach out to those members and see if we can arrive on an evening that would work for everybody. We'll meet via Zoom and just have our initial discussions and provide the framework for how we'll progress through the process.
Hey, President Vance.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Is there any minutes from the previous meetings that they've had in the past? I know it was mentioned before that they were going to take action, but they decided it wasn't significant enough to send it to the ballot or something like that. Is there somewhere previous minutes or agendas or anything from previous meetings?
Yeah, I don't know if Mrs. Gault or Mrs. Kirkbride is aware of what records might have been kept at the last meeting.
I am not, but I can search the files. I am not in the office on Tuesday and Thursday, so I would have to wait till Wednesday to look at them.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, I don't have it. This is before my tenure as law director, so I don't recall that either. But I'll defer to the clerk. If she doesn't find something, I'm sure we would have something here from the prior law director. I can look.
Okay. I know there are a couple of things.
The last two that we've had, there wouldn't be much for minutes because we met and it was decided that there wasn't much worth changing. I think one of the issues before with changing, because we have some pronouns and so forth that are outdated, should be changed, was the cost of putting it on an election. And I always thought that was kind of a big number. And so I called the Board of Elections last week. And actually, if we're on the November election, they said it'd probably be $1,500, somewhere in there. So that's not too bad. If that's what we need to pay to get this updated, it's probably worth doing.
And I've heard some other numbers in the past, like $5,000, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's if you're the only people on the ballot, they're only voting for your issue. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I would like to add that we will be sending out a copy of the charter to them to review before that first meeting.
Okay. We will eagerly await that, I'm sure. So, okay.
Mr. President?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Osiris.
So two things. Just the first one, a thank you to all the volunteers volunteering their time to help get this taken care of on the commission. And then the second thing is just my opinion of I don't see any reason why we couldn't pass this tonight. I'm sure that group's eager to get going, and I don't think we need to delay it unless there really are some serious objections to any of the nominations.
I have not heard any at all.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Lawrence.
Echoing Mr. Spiris's comments, I think that it's a very fair and equitable way that we choose the representatives for this commission, and I think we have a great list. And I see no benefit in delaying either. Let's get these get these folks going and get them to work on their review. That being said, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of an ordinance on three separate days be suspended.
Mosley seconds.
Okay, Mr. Mosley, thank you.
Ms. Barris?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move ordinance B21 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Resolution 621. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Handwerk.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Resolution 621, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to procure quotes for the reconstruction of Orr Park tennis courts and declaring an emergency.
All right. Thank you. I suppose we'll turn to Mr. Wheeler for this.
Thank you, Mr. President. This was discussed as part of the REC committee meeting earlier. As Mr. Handwerk mentioned earlier, time is of the essence in order to get on the calendar. This would be a complete overhaul or of the surface at the tennis courts. They would remove the asphalt as well as redo the base and kind of create it all new so that it hadn't been done in over 16 years. So it is due for a resurfacing. By going and redoing the base as well, it's about $30,000 more than just the resurfacing, but it gives us about twice as much life, so it's well worth the money. Daniel's on the call as well. He did meet with Kent Smith out there and looked at it, and they both kind of agreed that this was the route to go. It is budgeted in the capital budget. I would ask, if possible, for approval tonight. If not tonight, definitely at the second reading would be great, if possible. I don't know if Mr. Hanwerk or Mr. Lau have anything to add.
No, I would echo what you're saying, and I think the biggest thing is when you're dealing with any asphalt company or anyone that does tennis courts, if we don't get on that list pretty soon, we might jeopardize the tennis lessons that Kent Smith would be able to provide in the fall as well.
I would agree.
Very good. Any other questions or discussion?
I'm sorry, Mr. Larson.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to piggyback and say the cost is about $130,000. The cost for just the resurfacing was going to run between $90,000 and $100,000. I wanted to make sure that dollar amount was out there to you guys.
Okay. All right, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Given that this project was actually planned for over many years and budgeted for this year, this is simply moving it forward, as Mr. Handwerk said, into a time frame where we might be able to actually get a good bid from an asphalt company. Given that, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
I second that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Handwerk.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
I move Resolution 621 be adopted as a
second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Resolution 721. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Yep.
Resolution 721. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to purchase four Axon body cameras and pay associated, associated body camera maintenance fees for the Orrville Police Department and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. I suppose, Mr. Wheeler, would you like to take this one for us?
Sure, Mr. President. As I mentioned in my memo, this legislation would allow us to buy four Axon body cameras to replace existing models and also upgrade. There's some additional features on the newer models. These are due to be replaced. The overall cost for these cameras is only $5,800, so it does not exceed the $15,000 limit that I have for spending. However, first of the year, we do our annual maintenance fees to them, which amount to about $13,000. And even though the two purchases aren't related, they are to Axon. So as a result, we feel like we wanted to bring it to council just to kind of make sure that we were in good with the with the auditors and didn't appear like we were trying to get anything by anybody. So Chief Birkbeck is here as well, obviously. So I'm sure he'll have. Be glad to answer any questions you have about the particular equipment or the technology, but we feel these are very key pieces of equipment for our officers as well as for our leadership, and it's critical that we continue to stay updated on the best technology possible with those.
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Worsen.
Chief Birkbeck, is this the same brand then that we've been using in the past?
Yes, this is just a newer model, and this model has some very key features. When we were looking at, we had purchased, I think we had 12 of them last fall. And what I'm carrying myself right now is an Axon 2, a second generation. Kind of hard to believe that we've had these since before I became chief in 2016. It doesn't seem that long ago that we've had these all body cameras, but we have. And Axon informed us that they're sunsetting these Axon 2 models for an Axon 3. So in consulting with Director Wheeler, one of the features that this new Axon 3 has is that when an officer draws their weapon, it activates the camera. And not only does it activate the camera, that is different than the one that I currently wear, which is the old model, where I have to push the button twice on my chest before I draw my weapon. And when we were talking about this, we said, the 99% of the reason why we have these cameras is for a critical incident where an officer may have to draw their weapon, and literally in our body camera policy, one exception to activating your body camera is if it unnecessarily puts you in danger. Well, if you happen upon somebody and you have to draw your weapon quickly, no one could reasonably expect anybody to take the time to push this button twice and then pull you up. So not only does it do that, but it also activates every other police officer's camera in a 30-foot radius. And that exact scenario, about 2 to 3 weeks after we took delivery of these, played out here in town during a critical incident in early January, where literally that technology came into play and activated a camera. So, that's why Director Wheeler and I feel strongly that there's still four cameras that are the old generation cameras, and who knew that we would actually, I'm probably the biggest fan of that company right now that you could, I don't know of any other company that offers that, and we've been with them for quite some time. We've established a relationship with them, so I'll do that, and if anybody has any other questions, but that technology, literally days after we took delivery of those cameras, came into play, made a big, big difference.
It's remarkable. Any other questions or discussion? Very good, Mr. Morris.
That sounds like an outstanding innovation and something that we want to put on our officers as quickly as possible. Given that, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended. Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Spears.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 721 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Spears.
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
All right, very good. I believe that does conclude our new business for this evening. And what we have left then is our report from our police chief. And so, Chief Birkbeck, we can hand it over to you. Wondering, are you going to share your presentation or do you need me to?
I'm going to give it a try. I've never done this before, but assures me this is very easy, so I do the best.
All right, well, take it away.
So are you able to see the start of the presentation already?
Yes, we've got it. Yep.
All right, great. Okay, is full screen now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, before I kick off with the report, I do want to bring everybody up to speed on some breaking news from tonight. Our department was involved with Worcester Police Department in a very serious incident that's unfolding currently. You might have seen this. Emily Morgan is covering this on the Daily Record, and the various news stations are covering it. The FBI was involved in attempting to arrest somebody, which led to a brief pursuit that ended up at the individual's residence over in Smithville. They've been out there for several hours, as well as the fire department, because they needed to be on standby, and they also have a special piece of equipment out there that will warm up the officers who are on scene. So we have the FBI, we have Wayne County SO, Worcester Police Department, Orville Police Department, and Smithville Police Department that I'm aware of now that are on the scene, and it's my understanding that the FBI SWAT team should be down there shortly, but I did want to make everybody aware of that. As fate would have it, our department was training with Worcester SWAT, And they started training around 8 o'clock this morning. So they've been out there for quite a while. It's about 12 hours if they're still out there. So I just want to bring that to everybody's attention and make sure everybody's aware. All right, kicking off the annual report for 2020. One of the things when I was deciding to do this report, I was struggling with explaining how things unfolded, and you just can't do it without the numbers. If you look at the numbers 20 years from now, you have to be able to put it in perspective with COVID. So I went down the road of detailing to the best that I could how COVID impacted us. I could have spent an entire evening just on the COVID aspect of this, so this is just a general overview. But in March, if everybody recalls, early to mid-March, Governor DeWine announced a state of emergency, and mass gatherings were prohibited, schools were closed, businesses closed, and a stay-at-home order was issued. As a result, on the fly, our department, as well as many other departments within the city, had to create protocols for exposures for our employees for what they should do in the event that they have symptoms and what those symptoms are. And it was very complicated, and I worked very closely with Phil McFerrin, the HR manager, on developing these protocols. And then we also had to come up with protocols when we were responding. Oftentimes we would respond with the fire department to assist them, and we just didn't have the equipment to go into residence to help them with a lift assist or any other thing unless it was an absolute life and death situation. All of this, you know, was overnight. I made some restrictions on activities that the officers became involved in, as well as how to handle any mass gatherings. If you'll recall, there were some guidances given by the governor regarding the number of people that should be in contact with each other. We had to balance that with constitutional rights as well. And then I also restricted the officers' vacation. April stay-at-home order was modified to the Stay Safe order. Some businesses reopened. Again, you can see some of those protocols changed. In May, it looked like we were turning the corner. We started to open, more businesses were open. The 12-hour shifts, I had to institute those to keep the officers from being in contact with each other. I didn't want to run the risk that the officers would come down with COVID and infect half the department. Fortunately, that didn't happen. June, July, August, it looked like, I think a lot of us believed we were starting to get returned to normal, and I had lifted some of the restrictions on some of the activities. Some of the CIFA stands for self-initiated field activities. We lifted the 12-hour shifts. We updated protocols for CDC came out with some more relaxed guidelines for essential workers. And then, unfortunately, though, we did have to cancel Community Day, and we did have to cancel the department meeting. And then fast-forwarding on to November, that is really where the next, for us, noteworthy period of time. Again, we started to see that really big spike in cases in Ohio, and the governor put in the curfew. And when we really tried, and we really held out to the last minute because we wanted to have a shop at the COP, we felt that that was pretty important with everything the kids have been through, but to be able to do it in person was just not possible. It had just gotten too restrictive with the curfew and just too dangerous. So ultimately, we did it virtually, and it worked out really well. And I'll talk more about that later. All right, our roster. You'll note that down at the bottom, K-9 Freddy retired in June and was replaced by K-9 Hulk, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about them on the next slide. Here's K-9 Hulk. he and his handler, Mike Smith, were in training for several weeks in spring, and they managed to get that training in COVID, which we were really worried about that, whether or not they were going to get that training in. But they did manage to get that training in, and so Hulk has replaced Freddie. And so under the 2020 activities, you'll see those are a little low just because Hulk only had about half a year. So far, so good. And what a great dog Hulk is. We really love Hulk. And we love Freddie as well. 2020 BAC Data Master Summary. We had 11 OVIs this past year. We had no underage consumption OVIs, which is great. We had no underage consumption arrests. Again, great. Calibration check 51 times. Highest breath test last year was a 0.268, which is really high. That's like three times the legal limit. And lowest was a 0.092, which is still over the legal limit for an OVI. Other agencies used our machine seven times. Here is one of the most telling reports regarding the impact of COVID on us. You'll see that 2018, 2019, and 2020, those columns that or those fields that are darker are the lowest in 3 years. So you'll see there's some pretty significant reductions. Burglary is that's probably as low a number as you'll ever see, but again, everybody was home. Those are numbers that were definitely impacted by COVID-19. I think every agency, probably in the country, you're going to see a significant reduction in a lot of the property crimes. We'll see what happens with the crimes of violence and the more serious crimes, because I think I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those spiking when the FBI releases their numbers. Reports were at an all-time low. I can never remember them being under 300, so we had 299 reports and 299 charges. This is self-initiated field activities, and we had a good mix of, some of these are going to be down simply because not very many people went on vacation in 2020 and didn't request. I had put restrictions on traffic stops when it was at, when COVID was at its worst, only for the most serious offenses. We didn't want to have unnecessary contact with anybody when it was, when this was first breaking. So, and that was happening at really the busiest time of our year for self-initiated field activity, the start of summer, late spring and summer. As part of the Biased Free Policing Initiative through the Ohio Collaborative, this is a new slide we are required to provide on our traffic stops, data by race and gender, and this will be a slide that will be included in the future, and I'll talk a little bit more here in the future or in future slides about the Ohio Collaborative and our new certifications. Juveniles taken into custody. You can see we are hovering around all-time lows. 2014 and 2017, we were lower than this past year, but again, a lot of this has to do with everybody was staying home and locked up at home. Same thing goes with the test. In addition, oftentimes those numbers reflect a lot of warrant arrests. A lot of agencies just weren't picking up their warrants. So if we came across somebody and they had a warrant from an adjoining county, or the jail wasn't accepting people because of COVID, that had a big impact on those arrest numbers. I don't know that they're going to bounce all the way back because we're still dealing with COVID right now, but certainly in 2022, I would expect these numbers to get back to where they were in 2018 and 2019. Accident reports, again, 85, that is a really low number. But if you think about what the streets looked like when we first locked down, there was nobody out on the streets I don't care where you went. If you went to Akron or wherever, it was eerie being out on the highways just because there was no other traffic. With that said, I did include that the primary time for traffic crashes was 3 p.m. on Wednesdays. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes. I think last year it was 2 or 3 o'clock on Thursdays. Service calls down considerably. Now, this is a combination of police and fire, but I would say the biggest impact on that number on 2020 is self-initiated field activity. I would say we still probably were pretty close in handling the same number of calls from citizens, but the self-initiated field activity, I would imagine, took the brunt of those numbers. Again, I fully expect those numbers. I wouldn't be surprised to see 2021 be somewhere in between the 9,000 and 12,000, and then hopefully as we get completely past COVID, it'll be back to what we've seen with all of these. Training seminars. Thankfully, we actually had to, a ton of training got canceled, obviously, but we were able to continue on getting a lot of training online because of our enrollment in the Police One Academy and the Virtual Academy. So that whole list of those training courses are courses that we were able to do online without having to attend in person. And just to give you a real-world example, Councilman Mosley contacted me, seemed like it was last fall, with a constituent that had a concern about autism and whether or not the officers had training in autism. And literally, Councilman Mosley and I spoke about this briefly on the phone. I hopped on the Police One Academy, and there's a somewhere in the middle of that paragraph there's autism recognition and response. I found that course. I was able to assign that course on the fly, and we were able to get officers trained. Literally, I would say within an hour of that conversation, I was able to get back with him and say, I've got the entire department lined up for this online course. So that's really great that these resources exist and we're able to quickly implement that in a timely manner when something comes up. Lexapol training policy manual, or policy manual daily training bulletins. So literally our officers, we have a policy manual that's issued by Lexapol, and part of that package is it comes with a lot of benefits. And one of the benefits are that they give us these scenarios that are based on our policy. And every month we get 25 to 30 policies, daily training bulletins, and it looks like something like this. So that you'll get a scenario like this, and the officer will read down through it, and then the next screen, it'll give an explanation for our policy and an analysis and a conclusion, and then there's a quiz question for the officer to answer. So the screen before it mentioned that we took 300 of those covering our policy manual, and then since we started doing this in 2017, we've taken 1,113 of those based on our policy manual. So that's a feature that we never had before when we had our own policy manual. And I feel it's very outstanding for the officers to actually get a scenario and then have the policy applied to it. And then they take a quiz question to demonstrate their knowledge of our policy. So I touched on this earlier. Last year, this time, when we were doing the department annual report, I was talking about having a provisional certificate from the Ohio Collaborative. Now we have our final certification. So in each of these categories, those are the certificates that we got as certified Ohio Collaborative Law Enforcement Agency. Community engagement and body-worn cameras, bias-free policing, investigation of employee misconduct, vehicular pursuits, use of force, recruitment, and hiring. So that's everything that you can get certified in and we are certified in that. In addition, due to the events of 2020, there was an executive order 13929 issued that requires that all state, local, and university law enforcement agencies be certified by independent credentialing agencies. In Ohio, that is the Ohio Collaborative. So the president's order required agencies to meet two standards in order to be successfully credentialed, that the agency's use of force policies prohibit chokeholds, except in situations where the use of deadly force is allowed by law, and that the agency's use of force policies adhere to all applicable federal, state, and local laws. In addition to that paragraph below, it talks about a variety of other things that you can read regarding credentialing us. Well, we applied for and demonstrated our compliance, and on December 22nd, I received this letter indicating that we were recognized as a Safe Policing for Safe Communities department. So we are credentialed in those areas and are recognized. So we did meet that that credentialing certification. So very proud of that. Another thing that I'm really proud about and very passionate about is we were able to become the pilot department in Wayne County to begin the Youth Engagement Specialist Program. In 2020, the Orville Police Department, in partnership with the Wayne County Juvenile Court and Catholic Charities, launched a pilot program in Orville called the Youth Engagement Specialist Program. And Hannah G. is the program coordinator, and I have many, many emails and communications with Hannah regarding our program and ways that we think we can make it better. The program provides officers with a single point of contact who can offer assistance to families with children who could benefit from social services. Officers can refer a child to the program coordinator, Hannah G., who will follow up with the family to determine what services can be provided to help with a variety of issues. Between September 14th and December 31st, 2020, OPD made 25 referrals to the YES program, and we far and away have more referrals than any other. Now, we did start earlier than everyone else, but now it's countywide. And then this next slide just is what they provide about the program. And you'll note clear on this right side over here, examples of program use, connect the resources for food, clothing, hygiene needs, connect to mental health or drug and alcohol counseling, find resources in the community based on availability and access. I've emphasized to the officers, I've emphasized to anybody who I've talked about this, this doesn't mean that a child is in trouble. Doesn't mean that at all. It might mean that we feel that with our interactions with the child and the family that maybe there's a service that Hannah can be aware of that can get in contact with the family to help them out. So it doesn't mean that a kid is in trouble if we refer them to this program. I want to make that very clear. It may just be something where we feel like we might be able to help, or Hannah might have a resource where she can figure out some way to help a kid who's in need. Tip 411. Last year we had 115 tips, and I just want to remind everybody that the Orville Police Department has the Tip 411 alert system. I've been using that a little more recently. I like that. I like the fact that people can go, I don't have to necessarily give specific instructions on how to respond back to that, because it embeds the tip button right inside the alert. So you read the alert and you might know something about what's happening. You can submit the anonymous tip right back to us. I also, in December, we launched OrvillePD.com. I felt like this was something that was a good option for us. It's kind of a long-form blog type thing where we can publish some information, whether it be a press release or whether it be something that's happening, to share with the community and tie it in with our TIP 411 program. And that way, when people go there, they can see what they might have missed the last time they were there. And it also can remind them of other programs that we have going. One of those programs that you would find on there is the Orville Security Camera Registry Program. Currently, we have 21 households signed up, and we appreciate that. It's a program where if we have something that happens in a particular neighborhood, we can go to that database and say, hey, this family has a camera here, and we can reach out to that family either phone call or email, or even just show up at the house and knock at the door and let them know, hey, we saw you were on this camera registry. We had this thing happen. Would you mind taking a look at your camera at your leisure and let us know if you see anything that we might be looking for? So that was new. That was also started in December. Our school resource officers. Disclaimer here, this is pre-COVID pictures, just so everybody knows. That's Doug Miller on the left, and he's at the high school. And we have Adam Moss and Lisi Herbert, and that they share duties at the Orville Elementary and the middle school. And I mentioned earlier about our Shop with a Cop program, and this was Sergeant Jamie McGreal really did a lot of work on this. This is her summary that she wrote up for me. She really carried the weight of the program this year and kept it alive. I'm glad we didn't have to skip a year. She did a lot of work in ordering the presents and getting the list of presents, and she was pretty stressed out. If you can imagine Christmas shopping for a bunch of kids versus just doing it for one or two of your own. So she did a really great job, and she pulled it together. And I held her out to the last minute. I really wanted to do it in person, and it just became obvious right around Thanksgiving we weren't going to be able to do that. So she put it together in record time. So very much appreciate that. Wayne County Children's Services Officer of the Year nominee. Again, one of the things that happened with COVID is every year we attend the Children's Services breakfast where they announced the Officer of the Year, and we knew that this year Lisi Herbert was nominated as a finalist, but unfortunately the COVID-19 pandemic was in full swing by the time that breakfast came around. But I still wanted to recognize her even as a nominee. That's fantastic, and she just does a great job with the kids. And I don't know that they ever got around to selecting an officer this year. Maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll select two this year if they are able to have it. So, but kudos to Lisi for that nomination. And then the NAMI Wayne Holmes CIT Officer of the Year. That stands for Crisis Intervention Team Officer of the Year. So that was for Wayne Holmes. So Nate Trapwicki was selected out of Orville as representing all of Wayne and Holmes as the Officer of the Year, and this was in the middle of summer when he was selected. I just got to tell you, in the year that we had in 2020, to have an officer selected as Children's Services nominee and then to have a Crisis Intervention Team officer, have a different officer selected for that, you know, that was just fantastic. So I was really happy that we had a couple of our folks that were represented the Orville Police Department. And that was really good. And then, last week, the department selected Nate Trapwicki as the Officer of the Year. The Orville Police Department was very tight voting, as it always is. This was the first year in a couple of years, that we didn't have a tie. So we've had five officers of the year in the last 3 years because we had a couple of years. But what's great is we're selecting different officers. It's not always the same officer that's getting selected, and that just tells me that we have a great group of people. And I will say this about Nate. I got to share this with you. You know, Nate, when he came to us, this is a former Marine. He is decorated. He was injured. His story about why he joined right after 9/11 was just fantastic. His reasoning for joining and serving our country right after 9/11. But what's great is you saw just the slide before that he was selected as Crisis Intervention Team Officer of the Year. That wouldn't have been what I would have guessed when I hired him. You are looking at a guy that's a United States Marine and very tactically oriented, but yet because he, first of all, it's his mindset, and I think that's why he was selected, is, you know, he wants to be as well-rounded as he could possibly be, and he took it upon himself to improve in the areas that where it matters, where you're trying to calm a situation down or help somebody who's in a crisis. You know, I've seen him standing at the trestle. A couple of years ago, he won the Gallantry Award, or was selected for the Gallantry Award, because he was on the trestle with a young lady who was about to jump, and he went up there and was able to rescue her. So, that's just the type of person that he is, and that's the type of officers that we have at the police department. So, what a great way to end 2020, and hopefully in 2021 we have even better information and a better news for everybody. But with that, I'm going to end the annual report with any questions from any of you.
I have a question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
First off, I think I speak for everybody, and I just say thank you. This was what you guys did this year was amazing. Everybody complained about 2020, but you guys were out there living it. So thank you, first of all. If someone wanted to get involved with the Shop with a Cop, where do you find that information, and maybe how do we get more of that out to the community so that everybody's aware?
So one thing, full disclosure, we have been blessed with this community. This community just does a fantastic job with their donations. You know, early on, I can remember, you know, sweating it when, you know, year after year about whether or not we would, you know, be able to have enough to fund all the kids that we wanted to take. Really, the biggest problem that we run up against is, and anybody who really works with the schools close will understand and agree with this, there is a tremendous amount of need in Oroville for this thing. The bottom line, though, is we only have the capability of taking, you know, like 20 or 25. But when it comes to actual donations, we do really well. We have some regular donations. You know, the Exchange Club comes to mind, where they donate, make a large donation. A lot of places do make large donations every year. So we're not in a situation where we're out with our hands on. I just want to be very clear about that. I don't want to give the impression that, you know, every year that we're sweating it. We are very fortunate that people step up and that organizations do step up for us. Does that answer your question, or?
I guess so. I'm just thinking there's some other folks that do similar things, and it sounds to me like you're getting enough donations, but maybe you need additional people to help spread that out, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Typically, we'll kick this off in, like, I don't know, September, October, when we start to ramp it up and select the kids. We've had people in the past who have helped with wrapping the presents or chaperoning at the schools. But again, we have been very fortunate that we have a very, very, I think we are on year 13 or 14 with this. I think we started around 2007. So we've kind of got it down to a science, other than this past year, which was a real curveball, but we do have it down to a science. Anybody else?
Hi, Chief. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Councilwoman.
I couldn't help but notice that in the past few years, there have been zero auto thefts. When was the last time that Oroville had an auto theft?
Well, we have...
Trivia?
Friday night.
Some auto thefts, and there have been some recently. No, we did, like, recently have an auto theft over the weekend.
I mean, previously, like, before, like, on that map, I think they go, or on that graph, they go back to 2017 where there had been zero.
Yeah, I would have to go back to the, I'd have to go back and go backwards on the PowerPoint to do that, but we've had auto thefts in the past.
Any other questions for Chief Birkbeck?
Hey, Chief, I just want to say that website that you guys developed, I think that was this year, at least that's when I noticed it, the OrvoPD.com, that's very, very resourceful. And, I mean, I definitely like that line of communication. I don't know whose idea that was, but I'm sure it'll only get better, but it's an awesome WordPress website.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, social media is really difficult to navigate, and there are, as Ms. Kirkbride will share with us, there are challenges to having Facebook and Twitter pages, and it's nice to be able to have a free form where I can do something a little longer form, and it just kind of filled the need that we had with our program.
What I like is I guess when you put something on your website, you don't have to babysit it all day and look out for comments and everything. So.
That is a major problem for us. And sometimes people think that, and there might be agencies that are big enough that are able to do that, but sometimes people think that they can ask a question on there and get an immediate answer as if somebody is monitoring it 24/7, and it's not. It gives the wrong impression that we can respond to something at 2 o'clock in the morning and then they're not happy with us when we haven't responded regarding a question that they put on social media.
All right. Well, looks like they'll do it. Thanks so much, Chief. It was a great report, and I really appreciate everything that you have done this year. I had some great news to share, and we're certainly all proud of you and your department. We have a great relationship with the police in Orville, and that means a lot. You can't buy that. No matter how much money you spend on the department, you can't buy the relationships that we have with the department and the community. So that means a lot. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Do we have any comments for the good of the order this evening? All right, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Very good. Mr. Larson moves.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. I am very excited to say our next meeting will be in March. It is coming. So March 1st, we'll get together and see if we have any crocuses coming out of the ground by then. I don't know. We're going to be wishing them, I think, to be coming along and some warmer weather and some warmer temperatures. But until then, thanks so much. We are adjourned. See you next time. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you.